B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No, I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all mine. Bro, y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half. On top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there, so I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making And on top of that, so all that money's gone, and now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be like... The damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. So now I got to play with that on top of that. So y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, it's, yeah, man, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher and the amount of money I'm making is way lower. Why would I think about doing that? Like, you know, I'm sorry. So in my head, I'm preparing for next season. And I'm actually preparing for right now. But as if I'm preparing for next season. Like, it's super weird, man. More Twitch streams for us, that's facts. But guys, I'm just saying, man, it just doesn't make sense for me to lose all of that money and then go play and then be on lockdown, not around my family, not around the people I love, and get paid way the hell less, and then the risk of injury runs every time I step on the field. So it's not worth it. It's not. I love baseball to death. It's just not worth it.
So that doesn't sum up the Major League Baseball Players Association. I don't know what does. I don't know what does. Should make t-shirts of it. As I said, just make him the official spokesman. Says it perfectly. These are the Major League Baseball players. This is the Major League Baseball Players Association. Blake Snell, Tampa Bay Rays pitcher on Twitch or something. That was him yesterday. I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all of mine. I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Put it on a t-shirt and put them out front because there you have Maz to me in a nutshell, in a Blake Snell, the Major League Baseball Players Association.
Oh, no question. I mean, he is the poster boy for it. And again, you know, if you are the MLBPA or you're someone that's in some sort of influential position in the MLBPA, in the union, or you're a player that believes you're doing the right thing, here you go. Here's your image. This guy is the guy that everybody is going to look at and say, see, this is how we feel about you. And then because of the way you're acting. And Snell, do you think Snell realizes that the prorated portion's already been agreed to? Do you think he even knows that? Like, no. He sits there and says, I ain't taking no pay cut, man. I'm not doing that. I'm not taking 50%. Dude, it's over. You already did. The prorated part of it was decided. That was agreed to. Clearly, he's not even aware of that. So I ain't playing for that. Well, I guess the Tampa Bay Rays aren't going to have Blake Snell then in 2020 because clearly he's not playing for anything less than 100% of his pay. This guy's a jackass.
He speaks for himself. To me, the story is that what he represents, and I think he represents that union. I think he represents the way that union has carried itself on everything. Pretty much for the last 20-30 years. And to me, that's the story. He represents the way they feel and the way they've carried themselves on pretty much everything, Murray.
Yeah, if you heard this as a sports fan or a baseball fan or just anyone living right now and your blood doesn't boil, I don't know what's wrong with you. Because if this is how he and by extension they and the union and all the players feel, screw, shut it down and may baseball never return again. Because the bottom line with this is it's disingenuous. He's literally putting a price on the health risk. you're either all on board on caring about the health risk or you're not. So what, close to $4 million a year, you're terrified for your health. I'm not risking my life. I'm not going to play. And it's all about health and safety. But for $7 million, you're not. You'll go out there and play. Again, it's completely disingenuous, like all of them are.
Oh, he is. He's the poster boy now for it. He does. He represents every single one of them. And I would say pretty accurately, because that's the perception. Your point's a good one, Mike, that really that's how people are looking at it. What Blake Snell just came off as, that's how the whole union looks. That's how every single member of it looks, that in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this global crisis, not American crisis, global crisis, you have jackasses like this guy that won't agree to a pitch clock and won't play for a dime less than what's on the paper that they signed, even though everybody is hemorrhaging. Unbelievable.
Tone deaf, selfish, obstructionist. It's what the Baseball Players Union has been for years. And, you know, I think they've helped ruin the game. I mean, I mean, and there's been a lot of factors to it, but I blame the players more than any other facet of the game of baseball. The direction of the sport and the fall of the sport and the problems with the product, which are many. I put mostly on the players because, well, they're the ones that have taken the game in that direction, and they're the ones who are fighting the change. And so that's what I'm most concerned about, is the quality of the product. In other words, Maz, let me tell you this. If the players said, yes, we'll speed up, yes, pitch clock, yes, mound visits, yes, we'll stay in the box, because we understand for the betterment of the game, we have to speed things up and get back to a product that's 2 hours and 50 minutes versus 3 hours and 20 minutes. So we agree this is important for the game. It's important for all of us. We'll agree to do it. If they had that stance on the game, I'd go, you know what? I'd support them on the money. Go ahead, fight for your money, you know, but I'm so resentful of them fighting the changes that need to take place on the field in the game that I root against them on everything. And it turns out that now I'm going to root against them on this because they've helped ruin the game on the field. And it just, you know, again, just the tone-deaf obstinance of Blake Snell, to me, that's not a one-off. I had Jimmy go up and pull this. Remember, it was last year or the year before. And again, the pace of play is crippling the game. It's crippling the sport. You know, and again, not from the old demos. Your grandfather still falls asleep in front of the game every night. But for, you know, the rest of us, you know, the demo from pretty much Walker and younger, the game is getting decimated because we can't sit in front of the TV for the length of time that it takes. And it's a real problem in the game. And so they're trying to get pitch clocks. They're getting these pitchers to throw the ball. And David Price is asked about it, again, either last year or the year before. And this is what he said.
I still don't think we have all the answers of like what the penalty will be. I mean, I know somebody said we get to kick a player out. Could be one, so that'd be kind of interesting.
Pitcher.
Yeah, all right. I don't know. I mean, it's gonna be great until a catcher gets crossed up and gets really hurt, or the umpire gets hurt. Or, I mean, I don't think it's for the safety of the players, but that's part of the game, and you know, the game has advanced a lot, and you know, you got to try and keep everything, you know, from being understood from all the other teams.
I mean, have you ever heard, by the way, and this occurred to me listening to Price too, have you ever heard players talk more about...
Yeah, Jimmy, that's not the cut. It's about pitch clock. That was mound visits.
There's okay, another one from pace of play.
Every pitch is so big. You know, you're not going to go out there and just rush through pitches. You know, you're taught ever since you're a little kid to be able to slow the game down, and now baseball wants to speed it up. So I don't care. I'm taking my time.
Thank you.
I'm slow.
I don't care. I'm taking my time. Clip that. That's all I need. I don't care. I'm taking my time. I don't care. I'm taking my time.
I don't care. I'm taking my time.
Thank you. That's it. We need to speed up the game. The game is being crippled. We are losing fans. We're losing interest because the game's taking too long. David, how do you feel about that? I don't care. I'm taking my time.
I don't care. I'm taking my time.
Blake, there is a worldwide pandemic. People are trying to get their businesses up. They're trying to support their employees. They're trying to get the economy and society going. We're trying to get baseball going. So we have to come up with something new and different this year to get baseball back on the field. I ain't splitting no revenue. I want all of mine. I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Those are direct quotes. Direct quotes. David Price on pace of play, Blake Snell, it's the same thing. And this is why, Maz, Blake Snell, perfect representative for the Major League Baseball Players Association.
Could you ever imagine any other entertainment industry taking this approach with the product as it pertains to the people ultimately pay them, the fan base, or the theater goers or the movie? Could you ever imagine that? Like when people start complaining about the quality of the production or the value of it, they go, I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it my way. You go to hell. Go pound sand. Like, no, really, I'm doing it my way. F you. And so, to me, this is, you know, and the pace of play one's a big one with me, too. The game's got problems. And the players have this attitude of, it's not my problem, that's your problem. I don't see a problem with it. No, there is a problem. You don't want to take a global view of it. You don't want to take a bigger view of it. It's all about you. It's entirely about you. And just quickly, because of that first cut we played, have you ever heard more players from any sport talk about safety that play a game that has no physical contact? Like, again, these guys talk about, well, you know, the player safety issue. Wait till a catcher gets crossed up. Really? Well, who's the last catcher whose career ended because the signal got crossed up? Or an umpire who got hit by a pitch, and admittedly, it hurt, but who did his career end? Well, like, these guys bitch.
They're always full of it.
They bitch about every little thing. Every little thing, they bitch about it. Every single effing thing. Bitch, 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 bitch. Every little thing, it drives you bananas.
Tone deaf, selfish, obstructionist. I think the players are mostly responsible. Not totally, but I'd give them about three-quarters of the blame. 75% responsible for the direction of the game. And the direction of the game is in the toilet. And it's because of them. And then when it's brought up to them that you know, changes need to be made, because we're losing fans, we're losing people, we're losing interest. David Price says, I don't care, I'm going to take my time. And when it's said to Blake Snell that you're going to have to, you know, rearrange your salary, give back some money to get back on the field to get this up and running, he says, quote,
no, I'm not splitting no revenue, I want all mine.
I want all mine.
And you know Price feels the same way, too.
No, I've got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
I'm not playing unless I get mine. That's
I'm
it.
I'm not playing.
Bro, I'm risking playing. My life.
No, nope, not going out there unless I get my money. Doesn't matter if I'm a young, healthy athlete. I have near 0% of dying of COVID. I'm not playing.
Take a pay cut is not happening.
Not happening. I'm not playing unless I get mine. That is, they should just make that. Like, they should, you know, what? Like that's the slogan on the door. What's the Harvard slogan? Is it when you walk in the door, Maz, was it? You probably know that.
No idea.
Some sort of Latin phrase or something. You know, it's like.
Oh, yeah, you're over my skis now.
Well, whatever. You know, some, you know.
E pluribus unum.
Exactly.
Veritas.
Okay. New York Times, all the news that's fit, you know, fit to print, whatever. Major League Baseball Players Association. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Quote, unquote. If anything represents the Major League Baseball Players Association more than that, I'd like to know what it is. What are your thoughts at 617-779-0985?
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The CBA is up. It's up after the 2021 season, and anything you give the owners now can be used against you then. So if I'm a player, that's why I feel like the owner's offer was not made in good faith, because I do actually think they are trying to backdoor a salary cap onto baseball. And if the players accept it for even half of 1 year, then the owners are very much within their rights, because let's face it, this pandemic is still going to be with us after the 2021 season. I don't think that's a stretch of the imagination. So if you play 2 years like that, what's to stop owners from saying any deal that we make moving forward is contingent upon the salary cap?
That's why I think, John,
to use your word, that the owners started there because that's where they're trying to end up.
So there's the other side of it. John Tomasi, NBC Sports Boston, out with us yesterday. Gave us a good spot. He's a player's guy, which I think is unfortunate. The more those players are enabled, the more they continue their ways, and the less that the baseball people have a chance of getting their sport back to what it was. And I don't know if it'll ever be quite what it was, but I think baseball will never turn back in the right direction, Maz, until the owners take control of the game back away from the players.
I've said this for a long time. The players have too much power. And I don't want, you know, I don't want it the opposite way either, because I think in the NFL it's the opposite. But baseball players have become too entitled, too spoiled. And the pace of play thing to me is just, everybody acknowledges the game doesn't move quickly enough, and the players say, screw you, we're going to do it our way. What are you going to do, stop watching? And my answer is, yeah, that's what they're going to do. They're going to stop watching.
And they don't realize it.
And so, look, I get Tomasi's point, okay, that, and this, if the owners are using this pandemic as a way to start a negotiation on the CBA, which is up at the end of 2021, if that's what this is, well, no, you gave us this during the pandemic, we're not giving it back, well, then shame on them. I feel the same way. But I don't know that that's what they're doing here, and the players, to me, are the ones that took this to DEFCON 1.
And again, if you want to, you know, not be so tone deaf and to say something publicly, but behind the scenes, when you get in that room, fight tooth and nail for what you think is right. Well, that's your right, and that's fine. But to be so utterly tone deaf, to have, I mean, everyone listening to me right now, probably 90% of you have either taken some sort of pay cut or lost, you know, even worse, lost a job, or you know people who've taken cuts or jobs. It's affected you in some way, shape, or form. It's affected everybody. And for a Major League Baseball player to say, I'm not playing unless I get mine, is just, can you be more tone deaf than that? And that is what those players are. And they've gotten to that point, Maz, because they've been so emboldened and they've won so many battles, and that's how they really feel. And they're just, oh my God, David, we need to speed the game up. I don't care. I'm going to take my time. Blake, we need to have a new contract to get this season in. I don't care. I'm going to get mine. I'm not playing unless I get mine. There it is. You wonder why I'm so anti-player in baseball? There it is in a nutshell. Don in Dartmouth, your thoughts.
Don?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. Okay, I am a massive baseball fan. I will sit there and watch the games for 3.5, 4 hours. I don't care. I was all about watching the games played on TV that the way they were going to do it. But like hearing this, I work in a hospital where I am faced with patients and possibly catching this every single day and don't get any sort of extra compensation. And these people act like, oh, I make $2 million less a year this year. Deal with it, dude.
Yeah, he's complaining about, well, I get back 50% there, then a further reduction, 33% on top of it, and then I got to pay taxes. Aw, poor guy. Aw, poor Blake, you have to pay taxes. You've had it, God, you've had it so rough in this country.
Does he? He's in Florida.
I was just going to say that, Murray. I was just going to say that.
Well, that's maybe why he said 33% as opposed to more, because he has no state income tax, but he's still paying federal. Maybe he resents that. Like somehow he's getting ripped off, that he gets to make millions of dollars a year. This country is so great and so open and so free and is so affluent that he gets to make the salary he makes just playing a game. And he's still somehow resentful of paying taxes. Like, those are the guys to me that's like, you should happily be writing that check, because what a country. I mean, that's the way I feel.
I mean, it is. And again, it is reflective of the overall mindset of the union. And what it is it's insulting as a human being. It's insulting. It's not insulting as a sports fan. It's insulting as a human being.
Well, especially those, Maz, like you say, like the woman that just called in that's working in a hospital, or someone that's working as a UPS driver right now, or delivery driver, grocery store worker, that's making, you know, a minuscule percentage of what Blake Snell makes, even if he has to take a pay cut. And he's out there saying what he's saying. Like, it's insulting. It really is.
Tone deaf, which is what the players are. They've gone, it's just gotten out of whack. That union has gotten out of whack. And the more I think of it, the more I've come around to Rob Manfred's got to go too. Because the game is not going to change until the owners legitimately take on the players and take them down.
Mike, they got to go to war.
They've got to go.
This is what, yeah, this is what I've been saying about Manfred. It's like, you know, unilaterally impose. Yeah, but unilaterally impose the rules. Well, the players will get pissed off. So let them. What are they going to do? Well, they might go on strike. Good.
Good.
Fine. Go. I mean, again, I see. So that the owners need to take the attitude of the game is dying. If we don't change it, it's going to continue to die little by little, piece by piece. And so, you know what? Fine. We're going to lock your asses out because until you do it, you're not playing anymore. Go pump gas somewhere. Hey, Blake Snell, see if you can find a job that pays you what you're going to do playing baseball. Because based on the way you sound, good luck because you're a moron.
Jim in Linfield. Hi, Jim.
Hey, I was just thinking the Price comment, it sounds more like a threat towards the umpires than a cross-up for the catcher. He's saying the catcher's going to call a curveball, I'm going to throw a fastball, and then the catcher's not going to catch it.
I mean, the way these guys carried on, and that was about the mound visits. You know, I had this conversation, too, like, well, you can put the catchers in danger. You can put the catchers in danger. Like, I can't been watching baseball since I've been 5 years old. I can't ever remember. And these catchers get beat up, like foul balls, foul tips, crossed up all the time. I have never seen a catcher have to leave a game because he got crossed up on a pitch, ever. I mean, I have to strain to think, you know, I mean, even the foul tips, certainly they get dinged and they've got to get, you know, the trainer comes out and they got to catch their breath and all of that. But how often do those guys really get hurt on even foul tips? But that is not what that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about he was looking for a fastball and he threw a curve. How many guys have had to go out of a game because of that?
Yeah, you just don't care about our safety, man.
Oh, but never mind that.
It's asinine, Mike. Please, it's asinine. And again, I remember a couple of years ago, there was a play where Teixeira was playing for the Yankees at the time. The third base coach waved him in, and he got thrown out at the plate. And he complained about the fact that the guy waved him in when he shouldn't have, and that this is my career, I could get hurt. That's what he said. And it's like, it was really, it's like, do you guys think everything is like a career-ending injury? Everything's a career-ending injury to them in the waiting. That's what it is.
David Price, the game is dying and we need to speed up. How do you feel about that?
No, I'm not changing nothing.
I don't care. I'm going to take my time.
Exactly.
Blake, we need to...
I don't care. I'm taking my time.
The game's dying, David. We really need to speed things up. It's really important to the game.
I don't care. I'm taking my time.
I don't care. I'm taking my time. Blake... there's a pandemic. People are suffering. We want to get our business up and running. We're going to have to come up with a new contract to do that.
Take a pay cut is not happening.
Not happening. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Major League Baseball Players Association. Here's the.
I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all mine.
I want all mine, he says. Here's Murray's.
I'm not splitting no revenue.
Here's Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
As we try to get back into sports, whether it's NBA, baseball starting up, people looking forward to football already, what is it going to come down to trust? Is it going to come down to how this is managed? Like, what's your take on how every sport handles this?
It's going to come down to both, how it's managed and trust. We're going to have to do the testing. And the trust really is going to be between teammates. You know, the biggest challenge is, you know, with the NBA, it's 15 guys, well, 17 with two-way players, right? So it's a little bit easier to keep track of everybody and kind of the players manage each other because they know which guy is dying to get out and dying to go out and do the wrong thing, right? So yeah. The players will help keep them in line. But when you have 25 on a baseball team or 53 on a football team, that's when it starts to get rough. And so how it's all managed and how players – you know, relate to each other and support each other is going to be critical to making it work.
So I play that because it's Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban on a podcast. I'm sorry, I don't know what podcast it is. But he, this whole thing about quarantining players in a bubble or a single hotel in a few stadiums, it was shot down by the Major League Baseball players. I'm reading the Wall Street Journal story. On this, the players considered that concept a non-starter. The biodome-style quarantine that would have isolated employees from the broader world, the players considered that concept a non-starter, and so the players already shot that down. Of course, if they're not going to agree to throw a baseball inside of 20 seconds, they're certainly not going to agree to quarantine themselves and their families or away from their families for months at a time. No, you had no shot of getting it past that union. So the players shot it down, and it feels like the owners have acquiesced because the current plan, according to the Wall Street Journal, calls for playing games in as many home MLB stadiums as possible. And what they're relying on, and this goes to the Cuban comment, MLB is relying on players, coaches, and umpires to use caution and limit their contact with others outside their workplace. Within the workplace, everyone would also maintain some level of social distancing to reduce the opportunities for transmission. Under baseball's suggested strategy, the apparent goal is to be able to quickly spot and interrupt any contagion, thereby mitigating how many people get sick. But the strategy is not to prevent any single one of them from getting the virus in the first place. In other words, they're accepting that these players are not going to accept a quarantine. They're accepting the fact that someone's going to slip through the cracks and catch the virus, and that can't shut down the league. What they're hoping that they have enough tests that they can separate that person and contain the contagion and just take that strategy, which I think is the right strategy. But this whole premise of we have to trust the players and everyone inside the bubble to limit their contacts goes back to what Cuban says. The players have to police themselves. Are you confident they will, Maz?
No. No. And look, it might differ from sport to sport. I think some sports might be more effective than others. For example, I think in basketball, there's actually a chance that they'll be able to pull it off. A, there are fewer people, which is a big point, and that's what Cuban's point was. And B, I also think the star players in that league have just a ridiculous amount of power. And so LeBron James runs the Lakers, and he runs the locker room. And I think that in the NBA, again, you have team structures that are similar to that, even if it's not LeBron, that the best players on the team generally demand or ask for everyone else to fall into line, and so the likelihood is greater that you'll be able to pull it off. Other sports, you know, and this just occurred to me, I think that the quote-unquote chemistry factor or camaraderie factor during this thing is really going to get tested in some of these other sports because there are guys that just do not want to go along with anything.
So, I mean, if David Price can't be, talked into throwing a baseball inside of 25 seconds, and now baseball is telling him he can't go out to eat at a restaurant with other people, well, screw you. I got to get mine. I don't care. I'm going to do what I got to do. I mean, that's how they approach everything.
Absolutely.
So I'd be worried about the baseball players actually falling into line with that. But it is the right approach. It does feel, I mean, the right way to do it medically, scientifically, is to have a sealed off hamster cage. Nobody goes in, nobody goes out. Kind of unrealistic to expect that the players are going to go for it and everybody inside the bubble is going to go for it. So fine. It's not a strict hamster cage. You're allowed to go home. You're allowed to go outside the bubble. But you have to be responsible now. And it's up to you because we're not going to have single drones following every single person once they leave the bubble. So there's that. There's also the testing thing, Maz, that I know you have a thought about. Exactly how often, again, the Wall Street Journal says exactly how often everyone, this is the baseball proposal, would be tested for coronavirus hasn't been determined. But the people familiar with the matter said it would be more often than weekly, but less often than daily. So a couple times a week. Baseball would use a test that typically can be processed in around 24 hours instead of an instant test that is more difficult to procure. Major League Baseball expects to have access to some supply of the rapid coronavirus test as well, but they will be limited to use on personnel who have symptoms or have come into contact with someone who has tested positive. All right, your thoughts there.
Okay, so first, as it pertains to the structure of it, I would tell you that if you're only going to test two or three times a week, and your test takes 24 hours to get the results, that's not enough. It's not enough. There's too much of a lag there. So again, you're going to get tested on Monday. You're not going to find out till Tuesday, and you're not going to get tested again until Thursday. Like, that's just too much of a window to infect other people. So that's not going to work. They got to figure that out. It's either going to be a more rapid response on the tests, or you got to be taking it more frequently so that results are coming in, you know, every day or every, you know, second day, or and even that, I think, enters into dangerous territory. The other thing I wonder about, and this is dangerous because I'm thinking out loud. I know I sent this to you guys in the email, but the whole idea that we're dealing with young athletes, okay, and if they're in this bubble, some of these guys are going to test positive and have no symptoms. And the likelihood is that all the other players probably are going to be able to handle it, because we're talking about young, healthy men in the, for the most part, and those guys that have underlying health issues probably aren't going to show up at all. Like, for example, Trey Mancini had a health problem that he said, I don't think I'm going to be able to play this year because I just can't take the chance. Fine, so he's out. I wonder whether if someone tests positive but he doesn't have symptoms, can that guy, in theory, could he still play? And you know, as long as he's not infecting other members of the community, meaning elderly people, even family members, like the last thing he's going to want to do is get around family members, can that guy still play? Am I nuts to even think that that guy could still play? And again, I'm thinking out loud here, so you tell me, because I don't know if I'm thinking about it straight.
I don't know. Like that piece is, to me, I don't know, not on my radar, Mass. I think they'll figure it out. I think the players will agree to do whatever it is as long as they get theirs, according to Blake Snell. I think that's going to be the issue. It's going to be the money and this revenue share idea. They'll figure out the science and the testing and all of that. I think, you know, the player, you know, so when a player says, I'm not risking my life, he's just talking about the money is what he's talking about. You know, I'm not risking my life to give away. He's just saying that to dramatize the fact that he doesn't want to give back any money. He doesn't want to do anything. So, like, I don't think that's going to be an impediment, Maz. I mean, I don't know how to answer your question, to be honest with you. But anyway, the Major League Baseball proposal, all that other stuff is being talked about. When it comes down to the money, that's when the rubber's going to meet the road. And the Players Union has already made themselves clear on that one. So how's that going to end up? We'll pick this up on the other side with your calls.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all mine. Bro, y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. So now I got to play with that on top of that. So y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, it's, yeah, man, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
Got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Again, should be the mission statement of the Major League Baseball Players Association. Nothing represents the way they've handled themselves over the years than that comment today by Blake Snell. That's pretty much it. Here's Kim and Sharon. We have this.
No, hi.
Hi, Kim. You're on the air.
Hi. Oh, I'm on the air. Sorry about that. Thank you. First time caller and a long time lover of sports and the show. I'm just appalled that the baseball players are saying that because, I'm a teacher by trade. I'm an assistant. We are doing everything remote. If we couldn't do exactly what we wanted in the classroom, should we say we're not going to do it if you're not going to pay us the way we want to? And I have a high school senior who's missing baseball and missing everything. And these guys are lucky that the owners want to try to do something safe. I'm all for safe. If they can come up with a plan, they should take a little pay cut. I'm sad because baseball's been a long time. And my grandmother, who's been gone for many years, used to listen to radio and the baseball games, and I'm sad.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to voice my opinion.
Kim, thank you for the call. It's a sad comment. Murray, when Snell says risking my life, how do you feel about that comment?
I think he's an overdramatic moron. He's a young, healthy athlete, and based on the numbers, he has a 0%, almost 0% chance of dying of COVID-19. 60% of those who've passed, unfortunately, are over 75. So when I hear that, I just think he's being overdramatic. And again, he's putting a price on the health risk. So it's all disingenuous anyway. He's either all in about this, about caring about the health risk, or he's not. You can't say $3.5 to $4 million a year, you're scared for your health and safety, but for $7 million, you're not. You know, like... He's just he doesn't mean it. He's it's an easy out for any of these guys. Like, I'm not playing. I'm worried about my health. No, you're worried about your money. You want all the money.
It's so true. You mentioned it earlier. I mean, never mind the hospital workers. We got a call from one couple segments ago. Like that, the first responders and hospital workers. Like obvious. But how about just outside of that? You know, again, the grocery store workers. If the restaurants open back up, if you're a waitress or a bartender, anything. You mentioned delivery drivers. Just go down the line. I think those people are way more at risk than a Major League Baseball player in this new environment where they're going. It won't be a perfect bubble, but it'll be something of a bubble. It'll be something of a bubble where people are monitored and tested, and there'll be a whole system in place for a finite number of people. Never mind the social distancing that actually exists on the field of play. Compared to these poor grocery workers who come into contact with hundreds, thousands of people a week with no monitoring, no idea where they are or what. I mean, it's
people
not even
underwear for masks,
it's not even close.
Right.
And this guy's talking about risking my life and nope, I got to get my money. That is just unfortunate is one way to put it.
Well, and the second part of what Murray was saying to me is, again, I have felt that this one is like, you got to be kidding me. This whole idea of, well, look, we already made a deal that we're going to get paid on prorated. So we're the ones taking the health risk by going out there. Oh, okay. So that's, it's about the health then. So my question to the players then is, all right, so what does it take? What's the number for you to go out there and play? And if they say, because again, they accepted 50, prorated. They accepted prorated. So what's the number for you to go out there and play? And if they say, well, we got to make $5 million a guy. Okay, I'm out. Done. No games. Go home. You get $100,000. See you later. Bye bye. If I'm the owners, that's what I'm seriously thinking about doing. Because remember that the deal they cut is that if the season gets wiped out, it's basically $5 million per team that will be split up among all the guys on the 40-man roster, and they will, they'll divide that based on who has the higher salaries and who doesn't. So congratulations. Not only are you going to get a fraction of what your contract is, but you just porked the guy on the roster who's making $500,000 and needed to play to make that money. So thanks for being an a-hole.
Alex in Rhode Island. Alex, you're up next. Go ahead.
What's going on, fellas? How are you doing today?
Good.
I just want to bring up the point. If you guys would be cool with taking a 70% pay cut yourself,
would I be cool taking? Good God, Alex, would you shut that off?
A dog whistle.
Jesus.
So look, the obvious answer is no.
I mean, we've all taken cuts.
Nobody wants to take a pay cut. Okay, but we're also, but if I've been making $20 million a year for 7 or 8 years, I might have the capacity to look at it and say, well, I can take a little hit here now because let's face it, the game's been good to me. I can give a little something back. And this isn't totally about the money. This has more to do with the attitude of players to be unwilling to compromise on anything, and to do it in the middle of a pandemic, to me, this is about a character trait that is consistent with the players in everything they do. The commissioner, fans have asked them to speed up the pace of play a little bit, and they give you the finger. I mean, how do you defend these people?
To me, it's the same story. It's why I played the David Price cut. David, we need to speed up the game. How do you feel about the pitch clock? I don't care. I'm going to take my time. Blake, we need to come up with a new arrangement to get this season in. I don't care. I got to get my money. I'm not playing until I get mine. I mean, those are direct quotes, direct answers, and I think they're the same answer. And so, to give a fair answer to the guy's question, if I were Blake Snell, he's on a 5-year, $50 million contract. 50 million. So if you're asking me, if I'm Blake Snell and I need to get in a half season in the middle of a pandemic but I have to give back 70%, and that's not even the real number, but just I'll dramatize it for you. So I can only make the $3 million for that second half of the year to get in this season in the middle of a pandemic. Would I do it?
Yes.
Yep, 1,000 times yes. I didn't even have to think about it that hard. Yep, you bet. After I've made $40 million in the other 4 years of my five-year deal, okay? So I've made $40 million the other 4 years. In the fifth year, I'm only going to have to play 82 games, and I'm only going to get $3 million. Would I do it? Yep, I'd do it. Yep, would you, Murray?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
If I've made that kind of nut, I would.
Well, apparently this guy says no way. No way! I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all of mine.
I mean, more than anything else, especially if you've made that kind of money, don't you want to get the hell out of your house? Jesus.
Chris in Arizona. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, real quick, and I know, Mike, you want me to go fast there, so I will. But I want to thank you guys. You got us through a lot these past couple of months just doing what you do. So I appreciate that. I'm real fired up today about this. I got to tell you, I'm a business owner in Arizona. I'm an attorney, and I've not let one of my employees go. I'm trying to get money from the government, whatever, do all of this. I'll sell my house before I allow them to not eat, okay? So that's not going to happen here. And so when I hear this fool and this moron talk the way he is right now, it just makes me sick. It's one more stupid thing that comes out of Tampa. Good luck, Tom. But here's the other point I wanted to make about the speed of the game. The other night I was watching from 1995, a Yankee classic. I was watching Chicago White Sox and Yank. And it seemed to me the thing that jumped out of the off the TV was that the speed they were getting on the mound, pitching quicker, and it was that noticeable to me. So it's Major League Baseball's fault for allowing these guys to push the game the way it has over the years. They're, you know, the players are definitely doing it. I agree with you, Mike. The players are the reason this game is slow.
But the players are the reason, but the owners let it happen because they haven't stood up to them in a long, long time. The owners need to take back control of the game. And this is just another example of it. They need to take back control of that game. I don't feel this way about any other sport. I am pro player in every other sport. In every other sport, I think the owners are the problem. And, you know, like in football, I think the NFL is going to come up on a thing. Well, they're going to have a real issue in their ownership ranks because the only owners of these teams are going to be Spalding, going to be these kids of these owners who were just born into it and don't know their ass from their elbow, and they're going to have a real brain drain issue in the ownership ranks in the NFL here coming up in the next generation. And it's a problem now. There's enough bozo owners as there are now. In the football, the owners are the problem. The other sports, I look at the owners. I never go against the players' union in those other sports, but baseball, Maz, it's gotten out of control in baseball. It's the players' fault primarily in baseball, and the owners have let it happen. And until they get back control of the game, it ain't going to turn around.
Mike, I think I said this to you, you know, months ago, that, again, if I'm the owners, I go to war over it. I do. I say to the players, we're going to institute the pitch clock. We want these pace of play measures. Are you going to give them to us or not? And they say no. Say, okay, fine. You know what? Don't show up for spring training. Until we have a new collective bargaining agreement, we're locking you out, and that's the end of it. And we're not going to play because this is an issue, and we need to actually start making significant changes on the game, which has been the same for 120 years, and people aren't taking horse and buggy to work anymore. Okay? So can we at least catch up? They need to go to war with the players. The players have to take a beating.
Okay. We continue with your thoughts on this. We started the day with Joe Buck's comments about Fox and, these NFL broadcasters planning to pipe in fake crowd noise, maybe even virtual fans superimposed on the TV screen in these football games where the stadiums are empty. How do you feel about that? I was stunned to hear that Murray's all in. He likes the idea. And Maz is open to it. Stunned to hear it from those two guys. How do you feel about that? And then we have one more thing that we want to introduce. We'll do it next, and that is the Patriots fandom and the interest in the Patriots and what's going to happen if it falls off here in the next couple of years. It's a conversation we started the other day. There's some polling data that we can point to on the conversation, and we'll get to that right after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.